I must say, when I first saw this article here that said that youth ministry was unbiblical, I wasn't quite sure who wrote it at first. My first, there was two names that popped into my head. The first name was Brother Vadi Bakum. The second name was Doug Phillips. And when I read it, I realized it wasn't either, and I saw it was Scott Brown, and I immediately thought, well, that's a good third candidate to be writing this article. So, and I immediately realized that as soon as I started reading the article, oh, this is going to draw a big stink. Because, it, like the brother already mentioned, one of the comments here was that it was a sacred cow. And he's right. That there's three sacred cows I found out as being a Southern Baptist you don't mess with. First one is youth ministry. The second one is children's ministry. The third one is Sunday school. Don't mess with any of them if you don't want to fight on your hands. So I knew immediately that there was going to be a lot of people saying stuff. So the first thing I would say is to a lot of people, they say you can't do youth ministry. You can't do church without youth ministry. You have to have youth ministry if you're going to keep the youth. And if you want youth to learn God's words, you've got to have a good youth ministry, and you've got to have a good youth program and a good youth pastor. Well, the first thing I would say is before you get on Scott Brown and say you can't have this, you've got to have youth ministry, I would challenge you to go to his church, which I have been there, and look at the youth in his church. Yes, his church is full of young adults and youth. But look at them. You'll notice something. When you go and you sit in the church Scott Brown is in, you will notice the youth are, one, they're modest. Two, they're polite. Three, they're modest. You notice they love their families. They love their mothers and their fathers. They love their siblings. You also, they're modest. They love God's Word. They're modest. They love God. And they're happy, they're smart, they're intelligent, they can do things that they're supposed to. They're modest, by the way. But the girls, you look at these girls, most of the girls there, they can cook, they can do stuff, they can run the household, they can take care of the kids if their mother needs them to. The boys, they can do that, but they can also go outside. They know how to fix things, they know how to cut firewood, they know how to feed cattle. A lot of them know how to raise livestock. You look at the other churches, what do we have? Oh, we can play Wii. We can text. We can skateboard. Xbox. Go to the mall. So before you say you've got to have a typical youth ministry to raise students and raise young people, I would challenge you to go look at the students that are in Scott Brown's ministry, under Scott Brown, at his church. All right? And you will see that it can be done without it. But the other thing I want to talk about the article is it biblical or is it unbiblical? And that is one thing that God tells us in the Scripture that we will know His disciples by, and that is by their fruit. I want to say, look at the church. How are we going to know the church then? We're going to know the church again by its fruit. And we have to look at the ministry. Is this ministry of God or is it not of God? Well, let's look at the ministry and let's look at the fruit of the ministry. What is the fruit of the youth ministry? If you look at it, you'll see so the fruit is about a 75% failure rate. We look at many polls, Barna, many other polls, they all come to about the same conclusion that about 1 in 4 children in the youth ministry will stay in church. That is that 3 out of 4 kids, when they go to college, after their freshman year of college, at that age, will leave the church never to come back. All right, that is a 75% failure rate. Folks, that is not a fruitful ministry. And I don't want to get into just numbers. But let's you look at it. Brother Bakum does it so well when he lays it out. And he looks at it as being Southern Baptist. Because Southern Baptist, we have about 16 million Southern Baptists. And you take 16 million in our generation. When my generation is gone, if only one person from the next generation comes over, that's a 75% failure rate. If 75% of the people in the church and the youth ministry right now don't carry over to the next generation, in the next generation, the 16 million Southern Baptists is down to 4 million. That happens again in the next generation we see, two generations from now, we see we only have 1 million. 75% failure rate, within 3 generations, we're down to 250,000 members in the Southern Baptist denomination. We think hell is on earth right now in America with 16 million in our denomination. Why do we have 250,000 in our denomination? That's a big failure rate. So we have to look at it and say, well, what are we supposed to do about it? Well, That's what we do in our ministry. My ministry is geared at reviving the church through reviving the family. And it's getting husbands and fathers to realize that they are the youth ministers. That we don't need a youth ministry just per se at a church. Now, it's okay to have youth gathering as youth and doing stuff together and having fun. That's okay. I'm not against that. What I am against is taking all the students and putting them over here, all the adults and putting them over here. And it doesn't even stop there. We're not just compartmentalized in two different areas. We've got children over here, youth over here, young children over here, young adults over here, college kids over here, married couples over here, old couples over here. We probably got a group over here for somebody else. Divorced couples over here. We separate everybody. Why? Because secular humanism tells us that we are all different. We're all in different stages of our life. And the only way we can get together move on is if we work together and we stay up in our own little groups. That if I'm going through something, I want somebody like me. We say that we have to have student ministry because only other students can bring other students in and minister to them. That we have to have somebody that thinks like us and acts like us and going through the same things as us in order to be ministered to. That's time and time again, that's what we hear. You know, it doesn't just stop again with youth ministry. But that we've got to, if I'm going through this, I'm going to have somebody that's going through it with me to walk through it with me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when you're going through something, you get somebody that's already been there. You see, I don't want somebody, if I'm going through a struggle in my life, I don't want somebody that's going through the same struggle to walk with me. I don't want to put my arm around them and say, hey, brother, we're going through the same thing. Let's walk through it together. You see, we're walking through it together. I'm like, he's like, hey, you know, I think maybe we try this, this might work. And we try it, we fall off the side of the cliff. We try this, we try that, we try that. We keep telling each other, let's try this. And it never works. Why? Because with the blind leading the blind. That's not what I want. What I want is, if I'm walking through something, I'm going through a burden, I'm going through something that's a trial, I want somebody that's already been there. That when we're walking, they're not saying, well, why don't you try this and it might work. No, they're saying, brother, don't do that right there. Don't do that, don't do that. Why don't you go try this? Not because I think it's a good idea, but because I've been there and I know this is what works and this is not what works. That's what we need. And you don't have that in youth ministry. Why? Because we've separated them together. Or we've taken them and we've put them apart. Church, if we are going to survive, we've got to bring them back in. We've got to let the young people walk with adults and act like adults. You see, we take them and we put all the teenagers over with all the teenagers, and what do they act like? They act like teenagers. You want teenagers to start acting, you want young kids to start acting like adults. You've got to put them with adults and let them learn to be like adults. You see, we've bought into this whole adolescent thing that came around in the 60s. That said that at a certain age, they're supposed to get rebellious. And they're supposed to go out and just have fun and play PlayStations and Xboxes and ride bikes. Nowhere is that in Scripture. And church, if we're going to see the next generation move on, then we're going to have to get this right. And men, husbands, and fathers, you're going to have to stand up and start leading. Yes, there are responsibilities on the wives and the mothers as well. But this is for especially us fathers. We are going to have to step up to the plate and realize it is not the church's responsibility. And we're going to have to do our job. And church, we're going to have to step down from the plate and realize that raising their children is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is telling the fathers and teaching and training the fathers to be the fathers they need to be to lead their homes. That is how we're going to see the next generation move from here to there. And we're going to see the church not only stay where we're at, we'll see it grow. And not just grow in number, but actually grow. You see, there's a reason these children at a 75% failure rate leave and never come back. That reason isn't that they just grew tired of the church and they don't know what to do, so they don't come back. The reason is they were never saved. Alright? So we don't have a 75% failure rate of children moving from this generation and leaving the church and never coming back. We've got a 75% failure rate of children not even coming to Christ. Oh, they may raise their hand, they may walk the aisle. But if they were truly saved, they wouldn't walk away from the church. They couldn't stay away for long. They may walk away for a little bit, but God's going to bring them right back. The reason they can walk away and never come back is because they never had Jesus Christ in their heart to begin with. Folks, we've got to realize that. We have got to wake up and realize it is not the church's responsibility to raise my kids. It is mine. As a father of five, I am a youth minister. I am a youth minister to my daughter. I am a children's minister to my sons and my other daughter. I am the priest of my home. And it is the church's responsibility to walk beside me and train me and help me when I need help. It is not their job to tell me to sit down and let them do it for me. And until we get that right, we are going to continue to see children leaving our church in droves. Never again, not only never again to come to our church, but to one day realize they went through the wide gate. The narrow gate is nowhere in sight.